Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskas, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is the national best-selling author Nick Petrie, and he is out with a brand new Peter Ash novel. This one is called The Runaway. It is an absolute thriller. And Nick, before I jump into the actual book itself, right on the front cover of the book is a quote from a frequent guest of the show, Lisa Gardner. It says, "Explosive and engaging, a wild ride." Is she talking about this book? Because it doesn't say.
She is talking about this book.
All right. This one, you know, Peter Ash, this veteran that you've created, this fantastic character, he has a certain code that he lives by, but this one is so centered on the place that this takes place, as most of the Peter Ash novels are. I kind of know this area because I've been around the Niobrara area, the Missouri River there, across from Springfield, Tyndall, all those areas of South Dakota. What was so special about this place that drew it to your attention in a literal fashion?
Well, it's such beautiful country. There's really something primal about the northern Great Plains. It's so vast under this enormous sky. But along with all that beauty, it can be really a harsh and unforgiving landscape, and parts of it are really quite desperate, especially economically. As I'm sure you know, the population is shrinking in many of these small towns. Some of these communities are really struggling, and that is something that I both am interested in drawing some attention to, and it's just part of what makes a great story.
You know, we've had you on this show as we've followed your literary career, and it's just been fantastic. But now, for the first time, you've got a situation where you're going back and forth in time, and one of the characters, from a female perspective, you give her view. You're just kind of showing off now at this literary knowledge you've gained, because that's kind of what you're doing, right?
Well, I appreciate that you think I'm showing off, because that means that there's something to show. It's interesting. This book... I did not intend to write a book that was anything like this. I did not think that Helene, who is the sort of secondary character in this, really, she became a primary character. I did not intend for her role to be so big. She just was so interesting to me, and she just kind of showed up and started talking and doing stuff, and she ended up sort of taking over the book in a way, which is a strange experience for a writer. But she was so much fun to write, and she is both sort of desperate and strong and resilient and really willing to do absolutely anything she needs to do to survive in this book. And it was so much fun to do.
Well, Peter Ash comes across Helene in Nebraska, in north central Nebraska there, and it's after so much of this book has already happened, which is part of the flashback periods that you have. So what is it like when you have a character named Peter Ash and you've controlled him this long? The reader knows more than Peter Ash knows at this point, and so how does that inform how you write it?
Really, what the tension is, so when we meet Helene, the first couple of chapters are from Helene's point of view, and it's sort of Helene's origin story, as it were, how her piece of this story gets rolling. And then we see Peter meeting her many months later, and she's enormously pregnant and stranded and trying to escape from her husband, who's an ex-policeman and a very bad man. And really the tension of the book comes from the reader knowing what point A is and kind of what point Z is. And the tension is, how does she get from sort of the relatively innocent young girl that she is at the beginning, working at this remote gas station in Montana, to being a woman on the run. And then really that's sort of the first half of the book. And then the second half of the book is, how do they together manage to escape from that bad, bad man? So it really is, the reader does a lot of that work for you. If you can get the pin set up just right, the reader really will make connections and create that, sort of follow through on that tension if you can begin in the right way.
Something I really liked how you did here, and I wanted to ask you what your thought process was, is the sex is a theme of this book, and particularly some very violent sex, but the sex scenes are something, it's almost Hitchcockian in that we don't really see it happen, but we know what happened. We can imagine it in our minds. Did you go back and forth about how graphic you wanted to get describing this for the reader?
Oh, absolutely. There are aspects of this book that could be considered to be kind of titillating, and I did not want that to feel like that at all. I wanted it to be unsettling, but not have it be too graphic. I think, you know, readers have only a certain amount of tolerance for certain things. And I wanted parts of this book to be a little bit uncomfortable to read, but I didn't want them to be painful or horrific. I didn't want people who'd had a particularly bad experience themselves to really, you know, jump out of their skins. And I think every writer has to walk that line and find the place that works for him. And none of the other books sort of carry that level of graphic, sex or violence, quite frankly. Sometimes there is violence, and that's really honestly one of the themes of this series. But, I was very careful to calibrate exactly how much I wanted to show, and really what I wanted you to do was to feel what it was like for her, not to live it yourself, if that makes any sense.
When you set about plotting this book, and it seemed like, as I read it, I would almost start getting ahead, or my mind would want to get ahead of the narrative with Peter Ashe, but then it would drop back to the flashbacks, to Helene's backstory, and it would get my mind straight as far as making sense of the narrative, of the Peter Ashe narrative. So when you wrote that, how did you keep in mind where you wanted to drop these flashbacks in? Did that particular element come to mind of making sure the reader didn't get ahead of themselves?
Yeah, and it's not something I do particularly consciously. My writing process is I start writing at what I think is the beginning of the book, and I just sort of write forward. And I wrote the Helene section until I got to the point where I've hit a certain level of tension, and I've struck a couple of notes, and now I need to shift gears to the next thing. And so then I wrote Peter's section, and then that became two or three chapters until I was like, okay, this is a great place to stop and to come back to learn a little bit more about Helene. So, in a way, I write kind of as the reader reads. And then there's a point, of course, where you have to go back and calibrate and adjust, and I do that multiple times throughout where, I think this chapter is better. And I had a little diagram where I had, Helene section one, Peter section one, Helene section two, Peter section two, and which chapters were part of that and what happened. And so I did adjust. So I would move a chapter from the end of Helene two to the beginning of Helene three, et cetera, et cetera. And I thought a lot about how long each of those sections were because I wanted it to feel balanced. But it's not, there's no mathematical formula for something like this. It really is just how does it feel? And it's a weird split personality I think writers need to have, is you need to be all writer when you're sort of initially writing that draft, and then you have to be a reader as well as a writer when you go back to revise to say how are people going to experience this, and what's the best way to calibrate, which is actually just like, writing about sex and violence, which is how graphic do you want to be. You have to put yourself in the mind of the reader.
I'm chatting with Nick Petrie about his brand new novel, The Runaway. It's the latest Peter Ashe novel. It's available everywhere. The title of the book, The Runaway, I thought it was so timely because I just finished watching the Dexter New Blood series, and the Del Shannon song, The Runaway, played a prominent part in that particular series. Then I get your book in the mail, and it's called The Runaway. So for about a month, I've had the Del Shannon song in my head. Did you, when the title, how soon did that come to you?
Fairly early on, and titles are always really interesting for me. I have a running list at the top of my document with basically every title that comes to mind, and I don't really go back and look at it. And I went back, when I begin to have the title conversation with my editor, I go back and I look at the list, and I realize that The Runaway had shown up as an idea independently like four or five times. It was in that list four or five different times. And so, some titles are just sort of immediate. Some books are really hard to find a title for. This one was a piece of cake because it really is, Helene really has such a large role. So she, and she both has not a lot of agency and all the agency in the world, really, by the end. So I wanted the title to really reflect her role.
something I also found interesting about your titles, if you look back at them, this, The Runaway is a noun, obviously, and the last few have been nouns, The Breaker, The Wild One, but right in there you had Tear It Down, Light It Up, and Burning Bright. So how do you decide if you're going to have the title refer to a particular person in the story or an actual part of the action of the story?
You know, there is a real art to titling, and it's not something I feel like I'm super good at. My editor really has a definite opinion about things. Somebody once joked to me on Twitter that all my titles had three syllables, which I, you know, did not begin to notice. And The Runaway, thankfully, has four, so I've broken that streak. But I don't know. It really is about sort of finding the right thing, and it, you know, when the goal is to have a short, punchy title, you only have so many options. And, you know, different series have different sort of flavors, right? If you look at F.A. Cosby's got these two big books, Razor Blade Tears and, oh my gosh, what's the other one? Blacktop. Oh my gosh, I'm blanking on it. Asphalt. How am I? See, I'm blanking on this title. But you know, the goal is for the titles to sort of feel all of a piece, because it is a series and you want them to sort of hang together. But honestly, I'm just kind of making it up as I go along. Every book is always kind of an adventure. I don't plan too far ahead. And often the titles that I have in mind that I really want are titles that my editor's like, yeah, no, that's not going to be it. And vice versa. She'll Light It Up, which is about the cannabis industry in Colorado. My editor said, how about Light It Up? And it was just like, well, of course that's the title.
You look at this area where the book is set in the Northern Plains there, and you're a Milwaukee guy, so you're Wisconsin. A lot of wilderness in Wisconsin, a lot of wilderness in Nebraska, South Dakota, where this book is set. Did you find, as you looked at this area for this book, this could have happened in Wisconsin, because a lot of America is still wilderness after all these years?
A lot of America is still wild, and I don't know. I think the flavor of Wisconsin's wild areas is, I think, different. It's a little closer because our geography is different. Whereas the thing to me about the plains is you feel so small out there, and I guess that was really the feeling that I sort of keyed into, because this is really a book about sort of isolation and desperation. And I shouldn't make it sound terrible and scary. It's also, there's a big adventure. There's a kind of this cat and mouse game across the plains. There's some funny parts. But, you know, in Wisconsin, we have all these woods, and you get stuck, you know, at the bottom of a glacial moraine, and you can't see anywhere. Whereas, you know, if you're in Nebraska and the Sandhills, you can see forever. So the landscapes are also different, and they all sort of call to me in a different way, and that's part of why every book in the series is set in sort of a different place, and some are cities and some are rural. But the goal is to essentially highlight some place or some area that I find sort of charismatic in a way, I guess.
Did you visit the area along Highway 12 there through Google Maps, or did you actually make a visit?
Oh, no, I always go. I had a wonderful road trip through Iowa and Nebraska and South Dakota. I did my best to stay on county roads, gravel roads, state highways if I had to. I really like the smaller, slower roads, because you really see more and you get to really feel the character of the place. If you're on the interstate, you know, you get the character of the interstate. It's the same restaurants, it's the same gas stations, it's all the same. The interstate is a place of its own, and you don't really experience the place you're driving through unless you're on those smaller roads. So I camped a night at the state park at Niagara. I can't remember the park in Iowa where I camped. again, how beautiful Iowa is, too. I've been through Iowa, Nebraska, the Dakotas multiple times, and I don't know why I'm not bright enough to remember how beautiful it is. And the Griffith region especially, which is, you know, 3 or 4 hours from my house. So you really do, you know, you see different things in person. You can see how it smells. You can, you know, you notice the smallest of detail. So you really have to go, in my mind.
This book was just an absolute pleasure to read. It's called The Runaway. It's the latest Peter Ash novel from Nick Petrie. It's available everywhere. Go pick it up. Nick, another fantastic novel, and I thank you for joining me again to talk about it.
Well, thank you so much, Brian, and thank you. These are really great questions this morning. I appreciate it.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio. I'm Brian Vakalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com, and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to music historian Molly Jolly and segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time. My little runaway, a run, run.